Welcome to all those people that are joining in through BBS Radio. Thank you, BBS, for making this possible for us. This is a simulcast with a call, as usual. This is another person joining in. Welcome to the call. If you have a chance, say your name and location.
This is Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the call.
Number one.
Yep. All right, and tonight we have our questions answered. Call. What is the official name again? The questions we got answered. Welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda from planet Earth.
Hello, Mr. Dharmananda. Welcome to the call. How are you?
Well, not bad. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. Thank you for being here.
A local.
Huh?
A local from the Earth.
Yeah.
First time I've been here. I don't know where I'm from before I came to the Earth, though.
All right. We are still 5 minutes away from the hour, about, and we will wait for more people to join in, and of course for Wynn and Terry to be present.
You know, yeah. It's a heck of a thought. You take a left and you wind up here on this planet. That's a great thought.
Yeah. Good evening and welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Oh, hi. Hi, everyone. It's Morgan in California.
Hello, Morgan. Welcome to the call. How are you doing tonight?
Thank you. I've been better.
I wish. A lot of health.
Yeah.
And more people have joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hello, this is Terry from Dallas.
Welcome back, Terry. How are you?
Thank you. I'm good. How are
All
you?
All right. Guys? Good to have you.
Good. How are you doing?
Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Number two has arrived. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hi.
Yeah.
I was wondering, did Wynn ever send an additional email out about that gentleman and his wife who was on Monday?
No, I have not seen that, no.
That was the end,
oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure I was maybe on the list.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fine. Thanks. We'll wait
All right.
and see then.
Now I'm going to have to go check it out. I missed Monday. Who was on Monday?
The gentleman who had the big mirror.
The
really
names are
big moon mirror.
The moonbeam.
And they have a huge, a couple of stories high mirror built up of a bunch of small mirrors. And
yeah.
Directs the moonlight to people who come there at nighttime for healing purposes.
Really? Now that sounds interesting.
That is very interesting. I really recommend you will love that call from Monday.
I think you call it interstellar light or something like that.
All right.
It's the moon collector.
Does it have to be a full moon?
No, it was all phases of the moon.
Excellent. Thank
yeah.
you. I'm going to go back and check that out.
All right. And I welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Gilbert in Central Florida.
Hi, Gilbert. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, Gilbert.
Hello.
And one thing they also said on that call, Fred, is when they beamed the mirror, but when they directed it on, what was it, on Jupiter?
Yeah.
And was it Jupiter? I can't recall. But then another direction, and then all of a sudden words started appearing. And over the full screen of the mirror, it showed in huge letters, love.
Huh.
Oh, man.
But just all amazing, right. Like, yeah.
And she borrowed a camera from someone and filmed it, but she's never published it, but she filmed it happening.
Yeah.
So it's a two-story mirror, huh? I'm going back to listen to that one.
Even bigger, I believe. Even bigger.
Wow.
And yeah, it was like the I guess it was assembled or developed by a gentleman from Vietnam or North Korea.
I remember being Korea. That's all I can remember.
All right. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the call, Don. Thank you for having us present with you at this moment.
My pleasure.
Howdy, Don.
Good. How's it going?
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
And welcome to the next caller. Say your name and location.
Hard in L.A.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Hi,
who else joined in? Go ahead.
Are you the one that heard that Dwayne died?
Who are you talking to now?
I'm sorry?
Who are you talking to?
You.
Okay, yes. I did hear that a couple of weeks ago or a month or two ago.
Who did you hear it from?
I can't remember.
Carol.
Larry?
Yes, I guess so. All right, in the meantime, sorry, Marilyn. We had a bunch of people join in. Welcome to this call. If you have a chance, please say name and location.
It's only Jim in Sedona. Hello, everybody.
Mr.
Hi,
Lee.
Hello, Jim.
It's Carolyn Medicine Hat.
Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Heis.
All right.
This is Larry.
Hello, Larry. Where are you calling from, Larry?
Florida.
From Florida, great. Thank you for being here.
If Marilyn wants to talk to me, she can phone me.
More people joining in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Kim in Florida. How are you?
Welcome to the call.
Hi, Kim.
Who else joined in? We welcome you. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hi, Marilyn. You're number three.
Number three today?
Yep.
Great. All right.
Hi, Marilyn.
There's only one win, huh?
Hi, Marilyn.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Donna.
Hello, Marilyn.
I love it.
I think it's great.
If we all have the same name, think how easy life would be. We just go on and say, hi, Joe. And everybody would say, hi.
Yeah. Life would be interesting.
Because it would be confusing, though. Like, Joe, what do you think? And
he hung up.
Who hung up? Do we have John on the line in Las Vegas?
Yes, he's here.
John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Before I start recording, do we have anything to share from the Dread Report?
There's too much of it. I'd rather not even say.
Okay. Thank you.
It's that bad?
Yeah, I'd rather not say. It's that bad.
The Dread Report?
Not the Drudge Report, the Dread Report.
Okay.
That's John's. John sends me emails about everything that's happening. Like, the last one I got there were 6,000 retail stores scheduled to close down in the next couple of years. And we are being misled about our economy getting better.
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that.
Well, if you want to be serious about it,
wait a second, John, I thought your response was really good. I'm afraid of what you're going to say next.
Well, maybe I'll just let you talk because it's too negative. I'll just let you talk. It's way too negative.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Yeah. Pretend.
I gotta upload that. Remember that song, The Sunny Side of the Street?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I gotta upload that. That's a good song to play, huh? Okay. Terry, are you here?
I'm here.
Hello, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is May 6, 2015.
Correct your mic, Wynn.
Is that better? Is that better
yes.
Now? Okay. This is May 6, 2015. Wynn and Terry in... No, wait. Terry in Sedona, Wynn in Tucson. God, I'm in Tucson right now. And, of course... I could have just said we were in Arizona and everybody everywhere. And this is our call where we answer questions that you guys have sent in. We have some really good questions. And, you know, I was telling somebody something today. And I wanted to share with you because I said, geez, I never said that before. And I thought it was, I really took something apart in a really good way, and maybe it might help some other people. And, of course, I'm not going to say who I said it to, because it's personal. But the information, though, was really universal. And had to do with going into a relationship. And we always talk about free will. And how do you really go into a new relationship and have free will at the same time? And it's such an important time in the development of a connection. And I think this not only works in romantic relationships, but even in friendships. And so I just want to share it with you because it might be something you can all apply. And, you know, everybody has neediness and a nature. Everybody. And there's nothing wrong with that. If anyone thinks being spiritual means not having any neediness, they're on the wrong planet, okay? And it's how you deal with your nature, how you deal with your neediness, and how you connect with sources in higher dimensions or energies in higher dimensions, that is what makes you spiritual or not spiritual. Spiritual is not like belonging to a club. So we all know on some level that other people can help fulfill the needy sides of our nature. And of course, in a romantic or intimate connection, it's probably the ultimate. So how do you make that work and honor free will at the same time? You know, one of the things about an intimate connection with someone is that it does, everything has to develop. You know, the development of an intimate relationship is classically called a courtship, okay? And intimate relationships in general seem to work better when there's a courtship, but not necessarily so. It may not be true in all cases, but in general, it's like in a courtship period of time, people get kind of getting to understand each other, hopefully at a deeper level, before they start fulfilling their needs. That doesn't mean they have to get married after a courtship. It just means that once you start fulfilling someone else's needs, it's good if there's a deeper understanding between you and them. And there's not a right or wrong way to do it. It's got to be free will, and it's got to be your own individual expression, And we've asked this question, and I know this is true. You can't just say a relationship should be this way. Every time you have a relationship, you should get married. Every time you have a relationship, you should be committed. In many cases, that may be better, but never, I don't think you can follow a rule about how these things work and say this is the way it has to happen. But one thing is the development of the respect of free will while you're dealing with handling the satisfaction of your neediness, okay? And so, because what happens is that when works on friendships, it works on romance, but particularly on romance, it's like when somebody has their neediness fulfilled, they feel really good. They suddenly feel empowered, and they feel loved. And it's, you know, it's like they feel more like, wow, it's good to be in a body. And then it's like when you have that reward from a connection with another person, then you kind of think you can get that reward whenever you want it. Now, this is where this has to develop with free will being in the mix, because you can't expect that person, and this goes for both men and women, you can't expect the person to be your slave and say, okay, let's go, make me feel good, unless they agree to it, okay? And, you know, either way it goes. So, therefore, you have to let that experience incubate and then come back to it and rekindle it again and again until everyone goes into a comfort zone of giving to each other without feeling contracted. Because if you are needy and you keep expecting another person to fix you, and there's nothing wrong with someone else fixing you, okay? Get over that idea, because it's like, it's okay if someone else fixes you. It's okay if you fix someone else. The only thing is there free will? Because once the free will gets lost, it becomes slavery. And once it becomes slavery, the energetic ability to fix the other person dissipates. In other words, people can fix each other when the energy is right. But when the energy is wrong, you can't fix each other anymore. And when this happens in a relationship, it usually people start resenting the other person because they think they can choose to fix them, and they're denying them. The person can't choose it because they can't fix them. Even when they go through the motions, the person doesn't get fixed, and that experience of feeling great and exalted isn't there. And so, but now you resent the person because they're denying you, and you're denying each other. And, you know, I mean, this happens in friendships. It's like, well, I used to call him. I'm not going to call him. I'll wait for him to call me because he should be reaching back towards me. I should, it's like one thing to observe is sometimes you can notice the level of neediness. And some people have a greater level than other people. And so the person that has a greater level is going to put more demand on the other person. And more susceptible for that person to feel controlled by the other person's neediness. So sometimes it's good if you can observe that, and you're the one with more neediness, than to bite your tongue and hold the space. You know what? You were needy before you met that person. It's like if you lose them, you're going to be needy again. Or you've learned self-service or whatever, but you figured out how to handle it. But it's like when you're the one with the greater neediness, and oftentimes this is more true for men than women, not necessarily, but oftentimes more true, men have more urgency in that area, and women have a different way of experiencing it, like nurturing and receiving. Well, you know, the women tend to hold the space for a longer period of time. This is me talking. This isn't the all name, okay? So they may have a different point of view. But from my experience, it's like you have to learn how to hold your neediness so you don't dump that whole expectation on another person until they really care about you. And when they really care about you, then they will reach back and want to make you feel good, okay? You know, they'll understand your nature. And in a really deeper relationship, if people don't make each other feel good and handle each other's neediness, then usually when they do that, they are in the law of one. They are seeing each other as part of each other, and it's never a compromise to give to the other person. It's never a compromise because you're giving to yourself, but you have to be in the experience of giving to yourself, okay? Now, I'm just curious. We're going to go with the question in just a moment.
All callers are unmuted.
Did that make sense to anybody?
Some.
Yes.
A lot of sense.
Hey.
Yeah.
Totally. Hey.
Yeah. Pardon me?
Total sense.
I hear somebody in the background saying something. But I...
It's total sense.
It makes total sense. I see. Okay. So, all right. Now, who said it made some sense? What part of it didn't make sense? Uh-oh. They're not copping to it. They're not
I did.
Who was that?
I did. It's total sense to me. Dharmananda.
Oh, Dharmananda. It didn't make sense to you. Okay, what part didn't make sense?
I said it did. I did make sense.
Oh, it did make sense. Okay. All right. You know, it's,
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
It's good to understand these things because, you know, when you think of being spiritual, and you also have to understand your nature. And your nature is your body, your animal body, your emotional body. Now you're out of the body stuff. You're in the body stuff. And the better balance you are in your body, the more the higher realms can flow through you. And even when you make connection to the higher realms, if your physical body is not in balance, nobody's going to know it because it has to express through your physical, you know, energetic expression into the world. And, I mean, I relate to that myself. There were many times when my expression was totally blocked energetically, even though I had deep inner insights. I couldn't connect them with other people. And these are the areas that I had to learn of how to get the body in balance. And you know, you could, like, you, for me, I could sit and meditate, whatever, and I say, no, geez, nothing shifted. When is this going to shift, God? You know, come on, I'm going to win conference calls, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Why am I still stuck? And it's because your physical body, neediness, on some level has to be handled. And it's different for everybody. And everybody has to solve their own puzzle on this. But I don't think you can deny it or avoid it and have it solve itself. It's something you have to deal with one way or another. And it's possible to deal with it, you know? It's like learning your diet, learning your exercise, learning your sexual preferences, learning your frequencies, loving yourself, you know, pleasuring yourself if no one's there, if that's what you need to do. It's like everyone has to find their balance so spirit can flow. And so, that, you know, maybe there's people out there, people listening, that don't have these issues. Their bodies are just in balance. I mean, naturally in balance, they don't have these levels of neediness. And there are people like that, okay? And they don't have to, you know, pay any attention to this. But most of us do have to deal with this side of ourselves. So it's really important to understand it. On that note, let me see if I got any last minute questions in. Let's see. Hi, Sarah. Egocentric people. All right. Sarah, thank you. It's your first time question. I'm going to ask you first. I think it's a first time question. Sarah Lowe, I shouldn't say her last name, sorry. But let me see here. Let's see if anything else came in. Sarah, you want to say anything to everybody? Now that you're finally talkative?
Welcome, everybody. And I'm in the process of tuning here. In the
cleaning pendants.
Pardon?
You're cleaning pendants, right?
No, I'm tuning to the Elohim.
Oh, you're tuning to the Elohim. Thank you. All right. All right, let's bring them in. We are so lucky to have you, Terry. And you're so lucky to gift us with your...
Yes, we are.
Amazing ability to do this. And it means so much to people. And you know that. But, you know, there's a certain amount of sacrifice in doing what we do on our parts. We're not doing it to get attention or, you know, for normal reasons. You know, we know how much it's helping people. And so if we didn't get that kind of feedback from you guys, I wouldn't do it. And I don't, you know, Terry wouldn't do it. Well, why bother? What do we need to spend a couple hours, you know, every 3 times a week so everybody can pay attention to us? Okay. And of course, that leads us to our first question from Sarah, which occasionally people do think this, okay? They think that, oh my God, Winner's got such a big ego and he's putting Terry down and, you know, who does he think he is? You know, who does he think he is to stand up there and even consider saying he's talking to the Elohim that created the universe? Blah, 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 blah. What a big ego he must have. Well, all right, if that's the way it looks to you, then so be it. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the the law of one to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And while we have this group connection, I just want to take a moment and put India, Tibet, and all those areas that have been inundated with this earthquake, and the people that are homeless, struggling, and the people that are on the other side that have died, that are feeling lost. I'd like our sources to do their best to work with this issue and help those people to the best of their ability for the highest good of all concerned. And we surround the planet with love light and ask that any potentials for earthquakes be mitigated. The earth has to release. And we ask that releases be gradual and away from population centers, if possible, for the highest good. And we just send love light to the earth through our bodies right now into the earth for balance. And so the earth feels good. And gratitude for all the sacrifices the earth has made in support of all of us surface people. And on that note, our source is present. Thank you.
Yes, this is for, we also take a moment and we surround Glenn, Helen, and Love Light and his family and his friends.
Thank you. And I know Jim's friend was in the hospital with a serious heart attack, and let's send the light to him and to all those people in our group that are going through health issues, whatever, all those people that have people on the other side that have passed, that right now through our sources, through you, we have the energy to move to them and help them for the highest good of all concerned. Our first question is from Sarah from Chicago. And the question is, why are some people so egocentric or narcissistic? What have they done in past lives? And I should add, is that a past life condition that carries over to this life? Thank you.
Thank you. They have not learned the lesson that entitlement is not something that is a person's right. If a person wishes to give to them whatever it is that they're requiring or asking, then that is one thing. However, if a person is feeling entitled and demanding, then we, Jim, could you close your door or turn down your volume, as we hear everything in double. If a person feels that they're entitled and they have not yet learned the lesson that they need to be given out of the love of someone's heart, and if a person is not yet ready to to give them whatever it is, or if a person's own issues are getting in the way of their giving what the person would like or would even need. If they have not learned the lesson that they are not entitled, but this is something that is freely given, then you see egocentric and demanding that it be their way, that they receive whatever it is that they are demanding. And it is part of the growth lesson that they are moving through, and eventually the universe will present them with a problem concerning it. People will feel that they don't wish to give to them, and eventually they will get a big karmic lesson. Thank you, Jim, for turning down the volume.
Thank you. Thank you for the clarification on that idea. Never occurred to me that entitlement was connected to ego and narcissism, but I see it. You know, entitlement. You know, when people have past lives where they were royalty, or where they were celebrated, or where they were wealthy, and everyone's deferring to them because of that, then it's easy to see how in a current life they expect people to do that, even though they don't have the outer image or identity that they did on the past life where that did happen. So it's a very common occurrence for people to have to be that way when they've had a past life, even though they don't know it. Okay? Next question. It's a good question from Marshall in Lake Villa, Illinois. And, you know, in the alternative news, there is a lot of ideas that we might be forced to be implanted with chips, whether we want to have them or not, and that those chips could potentially be programmed to not only to monitor us, but to control us, to send negative things through our body. If this happens, if this becomes a reality, how can we prepare for that? And how should we handle something like that?
Thank you. There is a movement that is moving towards that. There are animals that get chipped, and they say it is so they can find them if they're lost, and so that they can know where their animal is. However, it creates a disruption in the flow of energy around that area, and it can lead to cancer or problems within the body of the animal. They are also putting chips on credit cards, and there is some promotion of the advantages of having chips, for instance, in a person's hand. It is not a good idea to be chipped. And this can lead to the things that you have mentioned. One is to prepare before it happens to place, first of all, to see what is happening in the area, and second of all is to follow individuals that are looking into this and see what they have recommended to stay out of this area. The first thing beyond that is to just not promote it, not back it, and to ally with people that do not back it. If the general public does not back it in some way and fall for the promo about it and does not allow their own self to get chipped, that is a very big start.
Is it possible if someone got a chip for someone with healing powers to disable the chip?
It is possible, as there are in alien abductions chips that are put into individuals that track that individual, and they are disabled through various means. It is possible to disable them, yes.
Thank you. Next question is from, let's see here, is Don Herman. He asks you to comment on the idea of a universal mind, and I'll add, what is a universal mind? And he asks, how might we more easily connect with it and use it for our benefit? Thank you.
There it is. It's generally called God. A universal mind that is aware of all that is going on. And particularly if people ask, is aware and available to them, and we are not speaking of us, although we are aware and we look to people to ask. But there is a broader mind than us. We are of a certain frequency. The universal mind contains all of the frequencies and is able to tune in and focus on any part at any one time.
Thank you. I'm not sure, he asked, how does one connect to it?
One is connected to it. One simply needs to speak to it. One is connected to it.
If one suddenly starts getting flashing thoughts in their minds, it might be part of that connection, yes?
If one is able to attune, one can get messages from the universal mind. One needs to be careful to not tune into a negative aspect, though. eventually one learns when one is attuned correctly to the universal mind and not to some negative aspect.
Okay. I have a very interesting question from Edna, and I'm going to, like, widen her question a little bit because it's an important question that could be answered for a lot of different ways and ways of looking at it. I'll ask her a question the way she wrote it. Is it possible to go from our dimension to a higher dimension while being in this body? Do we go to other dimensions while we are sleeping? Now, I'm going to widen that question to say there's a lot of variations here. For example, if you talk about being in this dimension while being in a body, does one mean that you are in your body and simultaneously expanding to other dimensions, which I believe we do on these calls, or astral travel, where you leave your body and move into other dimensions? And finally, what's called sometimes, some people call this ascension. We don't usually use it in this way, but the idea of the traditional ascension word, where your body actually ends up in another dimension. So those are three possibilities: being in your body and expanding to another dimension, and leaving your body and astrally moving to another dimension, or having your whole body move into another dimension. And perhaps, you know, you could comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you. It is very rare that an individual would leave the dimension and take the physical body with them. It is quite common for a person who is non-linearly oriented to be able to tap into multiple dimensions at one time. One, in fact, is generally tapped into more than one dimension at one time. And they, as an etheric ambience way of existing, are moving from the higher dimension at the same time their body is in the third density. One can leave astrally and move into the higher density and move back when one is dreaming, when one is sleeping. One can then receive information from a higher density that can indeed help them out. It can be from a negative, which then one should disregard, or it can be from a very helpful place, another dimension, where individuals work with the person when they are sleeping. This is one of the things that you are experiencing, so that when it comes morning, it is hard to leave the other density, as it takes a reorientation to wake up and to reorient to the other density you are in when waking.
Are there beings
the physical embodiments that are in other planets or other realms that have the ability to move their physical bodies through dimensions?
Yes, there are. It is. Like he said, it is the astral body that moves. However, a person's physical body also can move, and they can find themselves teleported into another place, another time, another density. That is possible, but very rare. There are other planets that have developed this ability more, although this is not common.
How about when can it be artificially done through technology, as perhaps what happened with the Philadelphia experiment, or like on Star Trek, where they have a thing to move a body from one place to another?
Yes, the teleporter, it can be developed artificially. It is fraught with problems in some cases, and does not work particularly upon the development of it in a satisfactory way. And however, when we take a look, it is used in some space situations. It is sometimes used.
Thank you. Next question. Thank you, Edna, for your question. This is a question from Rosia. And Rosia, I'm going to ask your last question. And let me just tell you, a question like this is not something, this one here, is not something the Elohim can answer. Keep in mind that because the universe has free will, and because we are part of the creation of what happens, when you act as if the Elohim or anyone knows everything that's going to happen, you have automatically surrendered your free will to think that there's a destiny that's absolute. And I don't believe that's true. When you ask, like, are you going to get your job? That there's too many variations to make a prediction of that. I mean, sometimes, how good do you feel when you go into the interview? How well, like we were talking earlier about taking care of your neediness. You know, I mean, my experience is, if I handle my needy side, I look better. If I look better, if I'm going to do something, there's more chance they'll say yes. And instead of thinking that it's a destiny thing, think of, how can I make myself feel better? What do I need to do? Do I need to get a massage? What do I need to do so that I make a better impression and that I'm more relaxed and I'm more focused? And that will carry over and communicate, and that'll make a difference on whether you get the job or not, aside from your talents. So to think that the Elohim can tell you whether you will or not is like you're giving up your power too quickly just to ask the question, okay? And now the other question I'm going to ask, I'll ask this one, and that is, you know, the word Elohim is the name for the source that is talking to us in combination with the rock group. And the word Elohim was also used by the Anunnaki, who, as I understand it, were derivatives of the celestial Elohim, the celestial Elohim that came into this realm. And when an Elohim comes into this realm, they are subject to the limitations of this realm. They are subject to the forgetfulness of this realm. They are subject to the competition over possessions that comes up so easily in this realm. But the Anunnaki did talk about the Elohim, and they did say they were the Elohim. And in fact, when the Bible says the sons of God mated with the daughters of man, I believe they were talking about the Anunnaki. And but I'll read the question now. As it's stated, are there good Elohim and bad Elohim? I am not talking about Anunnaki because I know they are bad. I don't know if you should use good or bad, but I'll let our sources handle it the way they would choose.
Thank you. We see that the Elohim of the core, us at the heart, are pure, and we are unpolluted. When one comes into the third density, they begin to take on the frequencies of the third density, and they can, and their experience can become polluted depending upon how they react to the things that happen to them and the traumas they receive. So the individuals in Anunnaki, in their setting up of the Earth experience and the difficulties they had with survival and the contact that they had with the other areas such as the reptilians created a pollution, an unwantedness, so that they took on frequencies and attitudes that are not of the Elohim core. They were derivative from the Elohim core. However, they picked up unwanted things that were not them. They picked up frequencies that were detrimental, that were not pure, and they did not distinguish between themselves and these frequencies that they picked up, and they took on these things of the third density frequencies. So, part of the growth experience is to review for each of them the results of what they were bringing in and taking on as themselves, which isn't really them, not the core. We do not look at them as bad or good. We look at them as having taken on things that were not of their purity of heart and not distinguishing or discerning between their real self at the core and these things, traumas, problems, difficulties that they took on and made a part of themselves.
Thank you. And here's our final question of the night. We've got a couple of minutes. It's from Sija Hill in Buckinghamshire, England. I just leave it. Buckinghamshire. Okay. Buckinghamshire, England. And the question is, I think I'm getting memories from my time in Egypt or another past life. I am sensing and getting images of the color azure, blue, and gold. It seems like gold writing or symbols on an azure blue background. I feel a sacred and spiritual connection to it. When I think of the colors, I feel as though I am shifting into a higher frequency. It is sometimes enhanced when wind talks. Would you please tell me more about it for the highest good of all concerned?
Thank you. We add to what we have said before on this subject that you were indeed in Egypt, and you would look over the waters, and you would write letters in gold leaf, and you would see the two as being the creation, the manifestation of beauty, of putting beauty into words, and to putting words into poems or wise sayings, and to share them with the Pharaoh, and to wish for the people to know the beauties that were available. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sija. And thank all of you for listening in and sharing in this amazing experiment in talking to the sources in higher dimensions. See here. Let me unmute everybody. Thank you to BBS. One second.
All callers are unmuted.
We'll see you all in January. Thanks for being here.
Thank you,
Wynn
and Terry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your conference recording has stopped.